Welcome to Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted to be joined by Senator Marcello Pera, President of the Italian Senate from 2001 to 2006, who teaches political philosophy at the Pontifical Lateran University in Rome and is a frequent visitor to the United States. He is the co-author with Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, now Pope Benedict XVI, of Without Roots, The West, Relativism, Christianity, and Islam. With Senator Marcello Pera, we go inside the pages of Why We Should Call Ourselves Christians, The Religious Roots of Free Societies, published by Encounter Books. Senator Pera, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Good morning.
Why we should call ourselves Christians, The Religious Roots of Free Societies. Why did you feel compelled to write this book?
Yeah, because I think that the West, and Europe in particular, is facing a deep spiritual crisis, which brings about also a crisis of identity, especially in Europe. Europe has been shaped by Christianity. Since the beginning, you cannot explain Europe without mentioning Christianity, Christian message, Christian culture. And of course, America has also been shaped by Christianity. Just one might think about the foundation documents, the Declaration of Independence that mentions God, which is typical Christian or Judeo-Christian God. But now, today, I mean, in Europe, there is a sort of fight against Christianity because religion and Christianity in particular is considered to be an obstacle to peace, to coexistence, to a multicultural society, to scientific progress, and so on and so forth. So there is a sort of a prevailing secularist attitude and view with fighting Christianity. My view is that this is wrong from historical point of view. This is risky because of the consequences it brings about, and also because if we do that, then we miss the main justification of those human rights we are proud of. That's why I engaged myself with this book, with this message.
Well, it's an important one for even the survival of what is being attempted in Europe with the union of all these different countries and cultures. And as you point out so strongly, without the Christian identity, that unity really will be very problematic in being able to come to fruition.
Right. I mean, consider just precisely those fundamental rights and liberties which are written in our constitutions and sometimes even in international charters, for example, the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. Okay, nobody discuss about these human rights because we consider ourselves as endowed with these human rights. We also consider these rights as a prior to states and independent from states or governments. So they are there. They are attached to men, qua men. They don't depend on political authorities. And just because of that, they are considered to be natural or fundamental or unalienable, and so on and so forth. So the problem is, how can we justify these rights? Since they are unalienable, since they do not depend on political authority, what else did they come from? What is the a proper justification of these rights? I mean, if there is a Judeo-Christian answer to that question, the answer is that these rights depend on the fact that we are being created by God, we are being created in the image and likeness of God, and therefore we are sons of God. Therefore, we have the same dignity, and therefore, we have the same rights and liberties. But if we fight that message, if we fight the justification, then we no longer know how to base these rights. So, in a way, this secularist attitude is fighting not only against Christianity, it's fighting against itself. Because on the one hand, secularists are proud of their human rights, and on the other hand, they fight just that culture which provides a justification of these human rights.
I think you do some extraordinarily strong and bold things in why we should call ourselves Christians, the religious roots of free societies. Senator Perra, and especially in those definition of terms and helping us, at least here in America, to understand how the gifts that we have in the founding of our own country, in that shared identity, and that we could be in danger of losing that.
Yeah, I wrote my book thinking of Europe, of course, because I live in Europe, I'm European, and so I see what's going on there. But I had American mind. I mean, I think that even America is now facing a similar crisis. Even in America, you find intellectuals, academics, scientists fighting Christianity. Even in America, you find the view that Christianity and religion should play no role in the public square, should not interfere with politics, should be maintained as a sort of a private consolation, and so on and so forth. And so the risk is a European risk, but it's also in America. That's strange, because America was founded precisely on the idea of the Christian idea that men have been endowed by God of their own rights. So I'm a bit concerned about this culture even in the United States.
Is it too simplistic for me to say, Senator Perra, that in America we may be a bit spoiled at what the gift that we've been given? I look over at your beautiful homeland of Italy, and which I've had the blessing of being able to travel often, and there's so much bloodshed and battles and fighting occurred over the last century and a half, at the very least, if not before that, trying to maintain freedom and dignity, and
right.
I don't know if we have an appreciation of exactly what a gift we do have here.
Yeah, and I mean, people take this everything for granted. We have rights, and why? They don't ask why. Well, it was quite clear at the beginning of America that these are gifts of God. This is the expression of Thomas Jefferson. Now, we do no longer want to consider them as gifts of God, but the only alternative we have, if our liberties are not gifts of God, fundamental liberties, I mean, then the alternative is that they come from political authority, and they come from political majorities. But you know what political authorities give, then they can take back. And that's why the culture of fundamental human rights is at risk. It's not a question of tolerance. It's not a question of not let the church interfere with the state or religion with politics. It's a question of fundamental justification, and it's a question of the foundation of our own civilization. The American civilization is founded upon this view, which is a typical Christian view. If we fight Christianity, we also are doomed to miss the very foundations of our civilization. That's my concern about what is going in the West, not only Europe, but America as well.
Well, we see what's happening in Europe right now, and there seems to be so much an aching, a real struggle. And the war seems to be not maybe so much fighting different oppressive regimes that are coming in, but one is of the economy, of the oppressiveness of
right.
how to deal with economics, which
yeah.
hurts families.
Well, there is a combination of different crises going on in Europe today. One is, of course, which is everybody can say it, the economic and financial crisis. But then we had this spiritual, moral, spiritual crisis, and then if you combine both of these crises, then the risk is really serious, because we do no longer have our identity. But remember that Europe was considered to be and was defined as the Christian continent,
mm-hmm.
and has been a Christian continent over the centuries. Now it's no longer Christian if you add the economic and financial crisis, then you can understand. I mean, I do understand. I do see a risk, a serious risk for Europe. Mm-hmm. And so the fight against Christianity is a sort of a suicide, in my view. I mean, we are fighting against ourselves. And look at the consequences. We have, among the other problems, we have the problem of how to integrate, what to assimilate, I mean, Muslims coming to Europe every year. Now there are millions. And of course they have their own identity. Of course they are Muslim. Of course they sometimes they have a very strong identity. They come to us and they say to our countries and they say, okay, here is my identity. I am a Muslim. I want to continue to profess my faith and so on and so on and so forth. Fine, that's fine for us. But if you do not tell them that we also have our own identity, we also are Christians, we cannot even ask them to share with us those very fundamental principles and rights which are written in our constitutions and charters. And that's the problem. In that case, how can you integrate them? In order to integrate somebody, you have to present your identity. You cannot talk to a person and say, okay, you are a Muslim, and say, okay, but I don't care about religion. I'm not Christian. I'm not Muslim. I'm not Jewish. I'm nothing. So religion doesn't play any role for me. How can you integrate these people? And so the outcome is the fact that the integration is getting more and more difficult. We are going to create some ghettos in our major European cities. And so what the secularism is promising, more freedom, more coexistence, or better coexistence, is exactly the opposite of what the secularism is getting in Europe.
I think that delineation of identity is so essential in the discussion, because you so beautifully bring out in the book that for the believer in Christ, that the gift of God is grace. And right. For that believer, the gift of God, it brings us the Christian heritage of virtues, of customs, yeah. Of habits, of institutions. As you said, in short, our civilization. So it's not just so much about believers in God. It's in that Christian identity, all those other things affect laws and how that's treated. And different religions right. Have different ways of approaching those virtues, of values, of laws.
Yeah. Well, you're right. I mean, the point is not just becoming a Christian believer. I understand this is a personal experience. You may be a believer in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and so on. This has to do with faith. And here there is a freedom of faith and religion. That's that's something we take for granted. That's something we don't want to discuss. But if you are not a Christian believer, even if you are... If you don't have that personal experience in Jesus Christ, then in any case, you should appreciate the Christian message, which is a message of brotherhood, which is a message of peace, which is a message of tolerance, and so on and so forth. So even if you don't feel the Christian faith, you have to appreciate the Christian culture. Because precisely in the Christian culture, countries like Europe and America have been founded upon.
Well, and Senator Parra, it is also very imperative for us in the United States to, again, understand those definition of terms. And you, as a liberal in Europe, the liberalism is different than how we understand liberalism in the United States. And I would imagine for you, that's kind of it's quite a shift when you come into the United States to have to experience
right.
That mindset.
No, there is a shock, meaning the same word, because I take myself as a liberal, but that means in Europe that I'm a conservative. But look, there is liberalism at the beginning. Let's think of people like thinkers like John Locke, Immanuel Kant, Tocqueville, Thomas Jefferson. For these people, liberalism means fundamental human rights and limited state, no interference with this, of the state. That is liberalism in the classical sense. That is still liberalism in European sense, and that's why liberals in Europe are considered to be conservative. they have to face the progressives. Liberalism in the United States means almost the opposite. To be a liberal here, you mean that social justice and state role in private lives or in the economy, on the market. These are liberals in America. So there is a strange phenomenon when you cross the ocean and come from Europe to the United States. There, if you define yourself as liberal, you are a conservative. Here, when you find yourself liberal, means that you are progressive. But this contemporary version of American contemporary version of liberalism is quite different from the original classical liberalism of John Locke and Kant and so on and so forth. And it's interesting to observe that for those thinkers, fathers of liberalism, liberalism was connected to Christianity because they justified fundamental human rights they were praising precisely in Christian terms. Mm-hmm. Today, liberalism does not make justifications. Liberalism in America is something different. What you call liberalism in the United States, in Europe, would be socialism. That mm-hmm. is democratic socialism, whatever it is, but that is American liberalism in Europe.
Be careful when you say that to a liberal here, that everybody's cackles get up.
Yeah. I know, I understand. So I, what can I say? I may say, well, I'm a conservative, but if we have to speak in philosophical terms, mm-hmm. then, I mean, the philosophical position of liberalism is the original one, the classical one. Human rights, people endowed with human rights as gifts of God, and therefore government should not interfere in our freedoms and liberties and human rights. That is liberalism. Today, in America, liberalism is something different. If you introduce the idea of social justice, it's quite clear that you also introduce the idea of the state of government interfering with the economy, with our freedom, and so on and so forth. But that is not a liberalism in the original classical sense.
Mm. Senator Perra, the writings you offer us about Thomas Jefferson, I think, are invaluable. That he is a figure in our own history that I think we're struggling with these days. We're not sure. You hear many people in trying to interpret Jefferson, but how you give us your viewpoint of Jefferson's work, I think, is one that really we owe it to ourselves to really take that in. So thank you.
Look, in my view, Jefferson is really the founding father of your democracy because of the philosophy, because of his ideas. I mean, that famous phrase, people endowed by God with their rights, and the rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of truth, can be explained only if you establish a link between these rights and God. True, Jefferson was a sort of a rationalist, or sort of deist, but when he spoke of God, it was quite clear that the God he had in mind was a Christian God, mm-hmm. because only the Christian or the Judeo-Christian God is a creator of man in the image of God. Only according to the Judeo-Christian God, people are endowed with these rights. Only thanks to the Christian God, all people have same dignity, moral dignity. So go back to Jefferson. And, I mean, he also established the famous wall of separation between church and state. That's fine, because we don't want the powers to interfere or to fight each other. But if you think at the very foundation of the American Republic, then you have a Jefferson view according to which the American Republic is a republic of free people endowed by the Judeo-Christian God or their fundamental liberties. He called them gifts from God. And that's why, in my view, Americans should think again Jefferson's lessons. This is very important. If we miss that view, then our civilization, including American civilization, will be at risk.
Senator Perry, I was so excited to be able to get your new book, Why We Should Call Ourselves Christians, for I had read Without Roots, The West, Relativism, Christianity, and Islam, a book that you co-authored with Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, who is now Pope Benedict.
Yes.
And what is your relationship with him? What is that like?
I know him for many years, and I remember when I was the president of the Italian Senate, I invited him to give a lecture in a series of lectures at the start, when I used to invite major figures to come into Rome, heads of states, prime ministers, and so on. So one day I decided to go to him and invite him to address a lecture to senators, and not only senators, I mean, wide audience. And he came, and he gave a fantastic lecture about the destiny of Europe and the West. That was the lecture in which he said that he was admiring American democracy, just because American democracy is based on the fact that the free society, civil society is a free society which is still affected by the Christian message. So that he proved to be a bright mind, deep understanding, very educated in history, or not only theology, but history and philosophy. So we continued our conversation and meetings. Then we decided to write that book, Without Roots. We wrote it together. And then when I wrote my own book, Why We Should Call Ourselves Christian, and then he made a quite unusual move. He wanted to write a preface of that book, which is quite unusual. Popes do not write preface to books or by secular scholars. But that means that he is very much interested in talking to each of us, in challenging us about how the just the, can we justify the foundation of our free societies. He's asking us, well, if you reject Christianity, if you reject the Christian heritage, how can you justify, this is his challenge, how can you justify our free societies, those rights which you, secularists, say you are proud of. That is Pope Benedict XVI. I think he is really a very bright intellectual, and not only a very nice person, but also a challenging figure, and we need him. We need some enthusiasm. We need a spiritual and moral flag, and he has provided us one.
Well, I'm sure you've encountered this in your travels, but also in your work in Italy, that there are many who feel that Christianity's history of intolerance and persecution, which and even the Holy Father has said, you know, there have been scoundrels who have occupied the seat of Peter in the past. Those things, politically, people want to push aside then the entire institution of Christianity.
Yes.
And make it all a private matter. What would you say to them?
Yeah, of course. It's true. I mean, the history shows that there are some dark pages even in the history of Christianity when it was interpreted as temporal power and not only in spiritual terms. That's true. We had fights within Christianity. We have religious wars and so on. We know history. But look, the message of Christianity is not a message of intolerance. It's quite the contrary. The message of Christianity is a message of tolerance. It's a message of respect of the people. It's a message of human dignity. And precisely because, according to Christianity, we have been created in the image and likeness of God. And because God sent us Jesus Christ in order to save mankind, to teach us this message. So although there have been interpretations, many interpretations of Christianity in terms of political power in the past in Europe, that does not mean that Christianity is an intolerant religion. Quite the contrary, our charters of rights, our constitutions are written in Christian terms, although we do not longer understand the real meaning of these terms.
Mm. I feel just a need to ask you, Senator Parra, just the situation that is happening with the European Union and in your own country, the beautiful, beautiful Italy. And what are your thoughts? I mean, what are your hopes? What are your fears right now for what's going on?
Look, there are two aspects, I will say. One is the economic and financial crisis, which is going on in several countries in Europe, unfortunately, including my beautiful, beloved country, Italy. And that is one aspect of the story. So we have to take measures. We have to do something. We have to probably to have less social protections, less welfare, and so on and so forth. This is the typical recipes that we have to take everywhere. That is an aspect. Mm-hmm. And, of course, these are measures that people don't like because, of course, they are probably going to lose some privileges or some social rights and so on and so forth. But this is an aspect of the story of the crisis about which I'm much concerned because I know what that means. I mean, what sort of measures we have to take, difficult, painful measures. But there is also another aspect, because if we add to this crisis also a spiritual crisis, a moral crisis, if we no longer know what we are, what we stand for, then the situation becomes more difficult, because even in order to take political and social measures, you have to be confident in yourself, in your message, in your mission. And that's what is not going on in Europe today. The sense of a mission, the sense of being represented of an important civilization, which was a Christian civilization.
Mm. Well, again, why we should call ourselves Christians, the religious roots of free societies, is so invaluable for today. Senator Marcello Parra, we just so appreciate you being with us.
Thank you. It was good to talk to you. Thank you for having me, and good luck.
Thank you. With Senator Marcello Parra, we've gone inside the pages of Why We Should Call Ourselves Christian, the Religious Roots of Free Society. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to EncounterBooks.com, the website for its publisher, Encounter Books. Or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and download this discussion along with many others, go to www.insidethepages.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.